This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. In alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلوات ربي وسلام عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. My dear respected brothers, Deen is not entertainment, and Deen is not something that I get myself into a comfortable position, and as long as I fit in with the crowd, and mashallah, all the local mashayikh and the local satis and the local imams and the muftis, they like me, man. So therefore, I'm in a nice, comfortable position, and this is deen up until the day I die. This is not how it works, my brothers. Because when you die, your mufti won't be there for you. Nor will your sheikh, nor will your imam, nor will the community be there for you. Deen is an individual journey of every single one of us trying to reach the highest possible position that we can with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And deen, my brothers, is not supposed to be easy. I mean, I know we say deen is easy. That's kindergarten language. You know, someone comes off the street, he's far from deen. We say these encouragement, you know, these words of encouragement, that brother, deen is easy, so come. But the truth is, deen is not easy. Deen is a continuous struggle until the day that you die. Because the prize and the reward of deen is jannat. For a little shack, actually I can't use the word shack in South Africa, it has a different meaning. But for a little home in South Africa, you will work years of your life to pay off. And then by the time you finished, it's due for renovations anyway. But for deen, we expect we're going to walk straight into Jannah and be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just like that. Look, time is of the essence, let me not waste time. You see, my brothers, there's two aspects of deen. There's the physical, mashallah. You like my bead? I put oil through it. You like it? Nice white garment, nice cap. We all walk into the masjid. We put on this facade, this act that was so noble and religious. You see, that's one aspect of deen. There's the worship of Allah through ibadat, al-juruh, the a'mal, physical sense. But then there's something far more important, and that's the condition of the heart. And everything you do in a'mal is supposed to purify the heart, because Allah testifies in the Quran and says, on that day, speaking about the day of judgment, nothing will benefit the human being, not his wealth, not his children, illa man ata Allah, except the one that comes to Allah with a pure, clean, sound heart. You see, my brothers, we love the actions of the limbs because, forgive me, you know, we've become a very sensitive community. Now people are very quick to get upset. So let me speak about myself so that I don't insult anyone. You see, I've become a professional liar. See, it's all an act. This is where real deen comes. And Allah puts you in situations every now and then to show exactly where your real deen is. You see, my brothers, we've been ordered by Allah and His Prophet to forgive. An order direct from Allah and the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to forgive. No matter what the crime may be, a true believer always forgives. The Prophet of Allah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
have mercy amongst one another.
So the one in the heavens can have mercy upon us.
Show mercy and compassion towards one another. Show it. The order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let it go, man. Bury it. Don't hang on to things.
The sunnah of our Habib. The Prophet of Allah says, he who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. And he who shows compassion and mercy, Allah will show him mercy and compassion. You see, my brothers, you and I, we think that the topic of forgiveness, it's an option. It's a privilege that I have. That when I want, if I want, how I want, based on the way I'm feeling, I will choose whether or not I want to forgive the person that harmed me.
Habibi, it doesn't work like that. Because you and I are not free men. We are slaves of Allah.
You see, many of us, we love the topic of forgiveness.
It's such a nice, it gives me a tingling feeling, you know. But not me, bro.
Because anyone and everyone must forgive me, but God forbid I should ever have to forgive anyone. You see, this is easy, bro. This is easy. It's okay. This is easy, bro. Any kafir can walk into a shop and buy this stuff. But this,
we love to hang on to things.
Brothers, and please, when you listen to the khutbah, you see, many of us were so sick that after the khutbah, I get people that come to me, brother, wallah, mashallah, amazing khutbah. I wish my uncle was here, he really needed to hear these words, man. Sheikh, I wish my father was here, man. Subhanallah, it's like you were living in my life and you spoke everything about him. Again, deen is not for me, deen is for everyone else. Every ayah in the Quran, every verse in the Quran does not apply to me except when Allah speaks about rahmah and mercy. Have you noticed? Read the Quran from Fatiha to Surah An-Nas. Not a single verse applies to me. Not when Allah speaks about Jahannam, not when He speaks about the Munafiqeen, not when He speaks about His wrath and His punishment. It's all for everyone else except me. When do the words of Allah apply to me?
وَرَحْمَةِ وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah!
Ya Allah!
We've become professional liars.
The order of Allah and His Prophet is to forgive. Because Allah wants to see, has my heart submitted or not? Brothers that were born from the same womb. Please don't record, my brother, please. Please, no one to be recording. Brothers that were born from the same womb, that lived in the same house, that ate from the same plate, slept in the same bed, celebrated Eid, fasted Ramadan, together for years. Now they don't speak to one another and they haven't spoken to one another in years. And both of them have big beads, and this chilla and that chilla, and front row of the masjid. But I haven't spoken to my brother in years. You see, I don't have time. Forgiveness is not an option. Those that don't forgive, it's not just about good rewards and bad rewards. If you don't forgive, uqsam billah, I swear by Allah, it's a question of your deen, it's a question of your faith, it's a question of your aqidah, it's a question of iman. And trust me, I will come to it at the end, trust me. Forgiveness is not an option, Habib, it's not a card. When I want them, no. A true believer forgives all the time. No matter what harm, no matter what crime, no matter what pain was inflicted on me, we forgive. Not because the person is worthy of my forgiveness. Not because his apology was nice and sweet. Irrelevant. We forgive for the sake of Allah. We forgive because I want Allah to forgive me. It has nothing to do with the one that harmed me, but has everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, brothers, blood brothers, they don't speak today anymore. Families have been torn apart because of dunya inheritance. Yeah, you know, when my father left some inheritance, there was a bit of a dispute. He promised me the car, he promised me the house, he promised me this, that. Families have been torn apart. Uncles that don't speak, friends that don't speak, families that don't speak to each other. But mashallah, Sheikh, we just came back from Umrah. Mashallah, me and my family. We just came back from Umrah. And we stood, we stood in front of the Kaaba. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. You know, it's one thing to lie to others, but to lie to yourself. Have we stooped so low? We want Allah to forgive us for a lifetime of sins, for a lifetime of shortcomings, for a lifetime of neglectfulness, for years of not paying namaz, and years of pornography, and years of this, that, and the other, and years of stealing and lying and cheating. We want Allah to turn a blind eye. Yet you can't turn a blind eye to the one that came out of the same womb that you came out of, man. You see, Sheikh, my wife, she doesn't like his wife. So it's just better that we stay apart, you know. Wallahi, So now you let a woman get between you and your brother? Sheikh, what do you want me to do? You know, I have kids. Habibi, the hell with her and the hell with the kids. How on what earth can I possibly allow a woman to get between me and my brother? You see, her I can replace. And kids, Habibi, people are getting kids in zina. But this guy, if he goes, where am I going to get another one from, man? Forgiveness is the order of Allah and His Prophet. You see, my brothers, we love the Sahaba, I'm sure. But we elevate the Sahaba to such a level, even though it's done with good intentions. I know, it's done with good intentions. But we elevate the Sahaba to such levels, we make them angelic. And forgive me to all the respected ulama, because I know maybe now we're going to differ, but that's fine. The Sahaba were not as pretty as you and I painted. They were real human beings. They had problems. They had shortcomings, they did sins. And sometimes when you don't paint that picture, we've put an artificial barrier between us and them. You see, what made them special is not the fact that they did not commit sin. No, they did make mistakes. But it's how they dealt with their mistakes that makes them the great men they are. Time. I want you to live this story with me, please. You know, unfortunately, we can watch movies and I can always imagine myself being the hero. Turning the car and saving the lady in the end and running before the house explodes. And we always envision ourselves being the hero in the movie. But never have we ever heard a hadith of Rasulullah and actually tried to absorb it live it, understand it, take the sweetness and the... No, it's... We hear it like Disney. Yeah, nice, mashallah. May Allah bless them. After one of the battles, give me your undivided attention. After one of the battles, there was booty of war. So the Sahaba gathered, and they're having mashura as to how the booty of war should be distributed. So they gave their opinions, like we give our opinions. So one Sahabi gave his opinion, one Sahabi. Then Abu Dharr gave his opinion. I'm sure you've heard the name Abu Dharr. If you don't know Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr is an Arab, makes an Arab feel like he's a Ajami. To the bone. So Abu Dharr gave his opinion as to how the wealth should be distributed. Then right after him was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the muaddin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you don't know the background of Bilal, Bilal was a slave. Not only a slave, there used to be grades of slaves. There was first, second, and third. Bilal was an Abyssinian slave, yani a black man, and was a third grade slave. Now, because of Islam, was put on, given the privilege to even stand in front of a man like Abu Dharr and share his opinion. So now Bilal says to Abu Dharr, he says, "Ya Abu Dharr, I disagree with you. I think this is what we should do with the booty of war." Now, forgive me because there's too much juice to just let it go, you know. Sometimes we sit in Mashura. How many masajid has been built simply because the old Sati was refused in Mashura, or some trivial, pathetic issue took place, so we left, and now, alhamdulillah, we did our own masjid. So Abu Dharr, Jahiliyyah is still very fresh. So he says to Bilal, he says, "Even you, you son of a black woman, even you will disagree with me." Big words, bro. So Bilal naturally was shattered. So he picks himself up and he goes straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let me stop. If any one of us did this, especially the young boys, in our, we say we follow the Sahaba, but the truth is we follow gangsters. We're closer to gangsters than what we are to Sahaba. And that's even to the old Safis too, with all my love and respect for you. Because only gangsters don't forgive. But people of Iman always forgive. Bilal, by leaving the gathering and going to Rasulullah, in this day and age, what do we call this act? Many of you now, you're afraid to speak, "Oh, brother, that's Sahaba." I don't care. Speak the truth. This act of leaving the gathering and going to complain to Rasulullah, what is this called in our day and age? A snitch, yes, a snitch. You see, you and I, but I'm not a snitch, thinking you're a man. No, brother, we don't snitch. No, Habibi, you don't snitch. Rather, what you do, you will hold a grudge in your heart for the next 20 years and backbite and slander and wipe the floor with your brother with any chance and opportunity you get. But you don't snitch, mashallah. You are happy to break a family apart for years, thinking that you're showing how much of a man you are. I know family back home, cousins, ledam, yani, two brothers, their kids. They've never seen each other ever in their lives, and they live in the same city. 20 years of age. I said, "How come you guys don't know each other?"
They said, our fathers stopped speaking before we were even born. Nice big bead, and he prays in the masjid. Please, man. So Bilal goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, our Prophet of Allah, this is what Abu Dharr did. You see, I'm not telling you to snitch. What I'm telling you is, if there's someone that can help your situation, why don't you go? It's the sunnah, bro. No, but we pick and choose what sunnah we want in our lives. That's the truth. So when the Prophet of Allah heard the news, غضب رسول الله, he became furious. So he goes to Abu Dharr in the gathering, grabs Abu Dharr by the chest, and says, Abu Dharr, you are a man that still has jahiliyyah in his heart. If that was you and I, Qasma, Sheikh, wallahi, that's not what happened. Qasma, I swear by Allah, ask this person. You need to understand, it's the way he said it, and Allah, that's, Allah knows what was in my heart. On rubbish and rubbish that comes out of our mouths. But Abu Dharr, he acknowledged his mistake. Something many of us are not prepared to do. He acknowledged. Call it like it is, bro. You did wrong. That's it. It's okay. You're still Abu Dharr. You're still loved and praised even 1400 years later. Does anyone not like Abu Dharr now? Still loved and admired. We still sing your praises, Abu Dharr. Because you are a real man. Not this fake rubbish you sing. So he acknowledges his mistake. And then goes in search of Bilal. Many of us, we're prepared to acknowledge our mistake. But Sheikh, he needs to come to me, inshallah. We'll have some dinner. I don't really need to apologize. We'll have some dinner, inshallah. And this is a sign of my apology, you know. We love dodging. So Abu Dharr goes in search of Bilal. Finds Bilal in the streets of Medina. Goes to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in front of everyone. Goes to Bilal, puts his head on the floor and says, by Allah, ya Bilal, I will not lift my head off the floor until you step on it with your foot. And let it be known, Bilal, here and now in Medina, which one of us is the honored and which one of us today is the dishonored one? An opportunity that many of us would love to have with the people that hurt us. You see, many of us, we act like we've forgiven, but the truth is, we forgave because there's nothing I can do about it, even if I wanted to. That's not forgiveness. That's just settling for not being able to do anything, that's all. Don't hide being a coward with forgiveness of Allah. So what did Bilal do? Did he jump on his head? Did he tell him, see, I told you I was in the right and you were in the wrong? Bilal gets down on his hands and knees and kisses Abu Dharr on the forehead. And says, Abu Dharr, I forgive you for the sake of Allah. Finished, done, dusted, never to be spoken about again. Iman, my brothers, to forgive, regardless of the crime. Regardless of the crime. Ever heard of Abu Damdam? Most of us haven't. Because even our love for the Sahaba is a love based on dunya. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Why do we love Umar? Trust me, it's not because he used to have permanent marks on his cheeks
out of crying out of fear of Allah. Now that's not why we love him. Nor do we love him because of the permanent marks on his shoulder from servicing the ummah late at night while everyone was asleep. No. We love Umar ibn al-Khattab because he was a big man. Because when the kafari used to hear his name, they used to shake in their knees. Abu Damdam was a very poor companion, sitting in a gathering when the Prophet of Allah was asking for money. And imagine sitting there and all the Sahaba giving money, pledging and making donations. Abu Damdam sitting there, doesn't have a dollar to his name. Allahu A'lam, probably one of the people from Ahlul Sufa. Absolutely nothing to his name. So he's sitting there, having conversation between him and Allah, feeling bad about himself, wishing, oh how I wish I could help, but I have nothing to offer. So secretly, between him and Allah, he makes a pledge. Then the next day, when he walks into the masjid, the Prophet of Allah enters in front of the Sahaba. He says, where is the man that made a pledge in secret with Allah yesterday? So Abu Damdam now feeling the pressure, feeling embarrassed, thinking he's going to be exposed. While people were giving thousands, what did I have to give? So the Prophet asks again, where is the man? I'm ordering. Now that it became an honor, now that it became an order, Abu Damdam feeling the pressure. He says, oh Prophet of Allah, it was I. What did you pledge, oh Abu Damdam? I pledged that I sacrifice my ard and my honor to the believers. From this day forward, anyone that harms me, anyone that takes my rights, anyone that steps on my toes, I forgive him for the sake of Allah. I have no rights. He says, Abu Damdam, last night Allah brought revelation. He accepted your pledge, O Abu Damdam. For years later, whenever the Sahaba used to dispute, the Prophet of Allah used to say, why can't you people be like Abu Damdam? This is easy, my brother. Don't be fooled. But this, you know why we can't forgive? Let's not beat her. You know why we can't forgive? Not a big thing, something quite small. It's called pride. Brother, do you know who I am? Do you know what family I belong to? Who's he to speak to me? Brother, I'm a sheikh, he's a nobody. I'm a mufti, he's a jahil. I'm a father, he's a son. I'm a husband, she's a wife. They have to apologize to me, not me to them. Are you better than Bilal? Are you better than Abu Damdam? Tell me, which one is it? No, it's because of pride. Let me tell you something about pride. You see, when the Prophet spoke about all the major sins, never did he say that there's no hope. You could be a killer, a murderer, a rapist, the worst of the worst. But never, ever, ever did the Prophet of Allah say the words that he said when he spoke about pride. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, anyone with an atom's weight of pride. How much? An atom's weight. He says, never mind seeing Jannah. You'll never smell its fragrance. So I said it's a question of iman, didn't I? The Prophet of Allah says in the Sahih Hadith, and I'm running out of time. The Prophet of Allah says in the Sahih Hadith, he says every Thursday, the actions that we did throughout the week, they're gathered and they're collected and they're presented before Allah. He said, so I like to fast on Thursdays. So when my actions are, this is a prophet speaking, huh? A prophet. He says, so I like to fast on Thursdays, so when my actions are presented before Allah, maybe the fact I'm fasting will be a means of Him forgiving me my weekly shortcomings. So he says, every Thursday your actions are gathered and presented before Allah, and the hadith goes on to say, and Allah can and will forgive whomever He wants, illa except. Yeah. This same Allah that you keep singing, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and Allah is most forgiving and most merciful, and Allah forgives all sins. Habibi, trust me, you don't know the mercy of Allah better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet says, إِلَّا except, it means in perspective of all this, yes, Allah will forgive whomever He wants, except those two people that don't speak to one another, regardless of who's in the right and who's in the wrong, Allah will not even look at their actions. So Habibi, you can go in Jama'ah from now to the day you die, and do Hajj every single year, and four Umrahs in between them, and you can cry at the black stone, on the door of the Kaaba, on top of the Kaaba, on the well of, whatever you want Habibi. So long as Allah sees in your heart, that you still don't speak to your brother, you still have beef with your brother, you still haven't forgiven, everything you've done, equals to a big fat zero in the eyes of Allah. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Shall I tell you about the biggest losers? Forgiveness, my brothers. Let it go, man. We have enough problems in our community. Do you not agree? Huh? Let it go, man. You be the better man. You be the better person. Forgive not because they're worthy, la wallah, but because I want Allah to forgive me, man. This is Iman, my brothers. This is the Islam that we never hear about, because it's hard on the nafs. Very hard. But you want levels. This is levels. Soften your hearts, my brothers. Don't be arrogant, bro. Every one of us have made mistakes. We've become the best lawyers when it comes to our shortcomings. But we are the worst of judges when it comes to the actions of others. Anything, I have a 9-year-old daughter. Anytime she does something wrong, I don't know how she gets herself out of it. You know, like I'll be in the zone, I'm focused, I want to discipline her. So I call her over, and I'm not smiling, yeah, because I don't want to, you know. Amira! She's 9, huh? Amira! Yes, Baba? Come here! What did you do? By the end of it, okay, Amira. I don't know how she plays games. But she gets out of it. Let it go, man. When it comes to ourselves, we get ourselves out of any sticky situation. But when it comes to my brother, I back him into the corner with no escape. Don't. Let it go, bro. Let it go. Please, I beg you. Restore your families, man. Unconditional. Don't come and look, brother. People tell me, yeah, brother. Inshallah, I forgive, but I don't forget, huh? Sheikh, let me tell you. If you have not forgotten, you haven't forgiven to begin with. It's very busy. I will end with this last statement. I ask you something sincerely. This statement may disturb some brothers. But are you bigger than Allah? And before you rush to answer the question, because we've been programmed to lie all of our lives, I'm asking you, are you bigger than Allah? Allah says, I forgive all sins. Allah will even forgive kufr if you make tawbah and say kalima. And my brother who did something so many years ago, I still till this day can't forgive him. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات.
الأحياء والأموات. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts, to unite us, and make us like the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.